Welcome everybody to another episode of the Haunted Vermont Podcast. My name is Paul Dosky, and today's special guest is, well, you might remember Pam Putnam from when we had her on, and she mentioned her daughter, Cody. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Today we're talking to Cody Wang. Cody, welcome aboard.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're very welcome. And, you know, it's exciting at that time of year where we get to finally get out of the cabin fever and actually stretch our legs and start hunting for the mysterious beyond, you know?
Yes, absolutely. I'm excited for spring weather coming.
Yeah, and if nobody just got that joke, mysterious beyond from when before time, then shame on all of you.
Yeah. Well, that's one of my favorite childhood movies.
Same, me too. I actually own all 14 films because I'm just crazy.
No, not crazy at all. That's a really good film. My kids love them. I still love them. I could sit there and watch it anytime it's on.
Yeah, me too. I was actually singing one song a long time ago, and Tessa just looked at me funny, and I'm just like, don't you dare judge me.
You're never too old.
No, because you know what? If you grow up, it's not even cool anymore, you know? It's just
that's right.
Anyway, that's enough about me. We're here to talk about you and your business and Champ and everything mysterious, I guess. So without further ado, Cody, so for those that don't know you, because obviously Tessa and I met you back last year at the Vintage Market Days here in Vermont, which is like not that far away from where I am. But anyway, lovely everything, like the setup, everything. So I guess I'm just going to let you talk now and tell everybody who you are.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm Cody. Basically, when the pandemic came along, I was working a job that required us to be at work until the pandemic, obviously, and we had to work from home. So I was home for a while, and it really just wasn't working out between having to homeschool the kids and try and be attentive to my job as well. So I ended up quitting to pursue making soap full time, and I own a business called North Road Soap Co. And I go around to vendor events. I sell locally at a store in Ty, as well as stores all over the Adirondacks, soaps and beauty products. But then also what you've seen me set up with is my renovated horse trailer. It's from 1987. My husband and I renovated it into a soap store on wheels. So essentially I just pack it up, haul it, unload it, set it up, and I sell soap out of it. So the last 2 years, basically I've just been selling soap and kind of living a really cool dream.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, I remember when I first saw it, I was just like, now this is unique. Now this is what catches your eye that says, now this is different, you know? Like, and it really is, because it's not just, how can I word this? Like, you're not just going up to just a table that has cloth over it, basically. So,
right.
And, you know, I don't really know where I'm going with this anymore. It's a nice setup. I love it, and it's very unique and it's different. That's what I love about it.
Yeah, it's something that, like you said, it really catches your eye, and it's honestly so practical. And I've had so many compliments from other vendors, like, "Oh my God, this is amazing! You just pack it up and you go." It's really like a lifesaver. I mean, I have a back injury, and I just really needed something better to help, alleviate some of the issues I was having with hauling soap back and forth at an event. Like, usually you're hauling back and forth from your car to your table, to your car, to your table, and back again, you know, when you're done doing the event. And I just wanted something that was simpler for me and easier on my back. And the horse trailer has been, I don't know, my knight in shining armor, I guess.
No, it definitely is your knight in shining armor. And speaking of your horse trailer, so for people listening, if you haven't already really checked it out, take a look at your phone or take a good look at the video if you're watching video form. But anyway, that horse trailer that you see in that picture, that's the exact setup that Cody and I are talking about.
Yes, I've got, it has its own Instagram page as well. It's just called North Road Soap Bar. It's also renovated for wedding uses as well, and like parties and stuff. So it's got a lot of really cool uses. I have a few weddings booked this year, and I'm booking into next year as well. So I'm getting so much use out of it. It's just one of those things that I don't know why I didn't do it sooner, you know?
Well, that's always the problem, right? We don't really think about that type of stuff until something like the pandemic happens, because then we really have enough free time to really look at everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so I guess before we really go into like what you have to offer to Cody, is I'm curious now, is what really got you into the, I guess, the universe of the unknown, I guess, whether it be, you know, just the regular paranormal or even the cryptid side?
Well, so my brother and I growing up, we were always like super interested in, you know, like ghost movies and any scary movies. I mean, we've already talked about horror movies and stuff, but my brother and I were always just obsessed. We would beg my parents, you know, can we watch this movie? Can we watch this? And they would say, no, you're going to have nightmares. We would eventually watch them. And we've just been kind of obsessed with the other side, I guess, or maybe me more so than my brother. You know, paranormal stuff has always been super interesting to me, and, you know, same alongside Champ as well. Like, I don't know, it's kind of always been just an obsession, I guess. It's just one of those things that you just don't know, and you just want to know more, so you're always thinking about it, I guess.
And that's a fair answer. I mean, I like that. You know, I kind of started with ghost hunters, you know, and then my own experience happened, or experiences is what I should say. And then that kind of led me to start doing my own investigations later on in life. And, you know, it's always interesting and fascinating of what people think. And like, you know, there's really, what I love about this field is, to me, there is no wrong or right answer, you know? Like, could we really can't 100% say this is what exactly is what's going on?
Right, absolutely. It's that unknown factor, you know? It's that excitement, you know? I don't know. It's just, I've always been just super interested in it.
No, I agree. And I don't...
Gallery to view it. That's my dash cam is talking. I'm in my car where it is quiet, as you know, Paul.
Oh, I know. It's very quiet. You sure you don't have something going on in there? No, I'm joking. anyway, where was I going with this? So basically, like, you know, my dad used to tell me, like, stories all the time about, like, his mysterious encounter with a possible Bigfoot and stuff like that, because he used to go to some private camp, which honestly I forget where it is, because when he used to bring me, I was really young, and then, like, I just, you know, I just can't remember. I can kind of remember the way out of the camp. It was not that tall of a, I guess, a building, I'm going to say, because I can't exactly, I don't really want to call it like a cabin, because it almost seemed like it was like one floor and then a second floor above it, but that was really it. But
yep.
There was this one specific tree out front of this camp that he would kind of use as a measurement, and he used to tell me, like, that's where this thing that they supposedly saw or whatever, like, stood by, and they were saying it was about 9 feet, 10 feet tall. So, I don't know, you know, and me being young at the time, it's like, what? Like, oh, you're just trying to scare me, you know, because that's what parents do. They make up scary stories so you can go to sleep at night and not get eaten, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess, Cody, you do art as well, and you have some very interesting like stickers sometimes, and you actually have like a 11x17 print of Champ that you've made. So tell us about that. So what was the process like for making that piece, and what kind of got you into the art world anyway?
Yeah, I mean, well, really what got me into the art world is my mom. I mean, ever since I was little, some of my earliest memories are, you know, drawing at the table with her and coloring and cutting stuff out. She's just insanely creative, and I get every ounce of my creativity from her. My poor dad can't even draw like a stick figure. He always jokes that. So it's definitely, you know, for my mom, and she's just always totally influenced me in the art direction, and I love it. And I really got into graphic design work, I guess a few years ago. I mean, I've always worked in Photoshop and done stuff, you know, from when I was like 12 years old, worked on Photoshop all the way up through, but I really got deep into graphic design just a few years ago, and I do a lot of stickers in there, and as well as the Champ poster, which I so wish everybody could see the image from my computer, because the amount of detail that I put into it, I mean, you can zoom in and just see the depth and layers of the lake and the seaweed, the fish, and the shipwreck that's on the bottom. It's just, it's phenomenal. It's probably my, to date, my favorite drawing I've done. It took me around 30-ish hours to work on and finally finish. And I mean, I could still go back in and work on it more. I love it so much. And I really want to do more with that print. I do offer it as an 11x17. I have it as a larger print as well, which is, I'm not really sure how large that one is. It's probably triple the size of the 11x17, but it's just so cool. And I mean, to be obsessed with Champ and just get to draw him is, it's just fun. It's not work to me, you know?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, that's like another thing that really caught my attention was like, as we were walking through that vintage market days here in Vermont, and I'm saying Vermont because who knows who's listening? It's like I'm getting somebody from New York or New Hampshire who is out of Vermont, so I just want to clarify. But anyway, so as I was walking towards like even the entrance, I guess, because it really didn't take that long to find your little setup, and because you were like right there, right in the entrance of the event, and I happened to see like your interesting stickers, which it was like UFOs, like an alien and Bigfoot, I think, at a campfire. There was another one that I can't remember, and then obviously your Champ poster print that you just mentioned. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to have to come back to this after we look around, because this is interesting. And and then we just basically came back after a while and, you know, introduced ourselves and everything else. And here we are today, Cody.
Yes, the rest is history, right?
Yeah. And that's a good thing. And not like history as in like we just like axed somebody and buried them in the backyard. But yeah, I just want to clear that. There's nothing like that. Like we didn't history. We didn't do that. No. But anyway, but if Cody ever needs somebody to help burying a body, she knows who to call. I mean, so Cody, so.
A lot.
I believe it. Anyway, joking aside, but you know, I speaking of like trying to learn Photoshop and everything else, I learned Photoshop. It was Photoshop 7 back when I did the digital arts in high school, because we used to have the Stafford Technical Center, and I did that class for like a year. But unfortunately, I couldn't really go back into that class for senior year because my freshman year from a different school didn't give me enough credit, which is weird because I had like 8 classes compared to when I switched over to a different high school to 5 classes. But anyway, yeah. So I learned a little bit of that. And I know there's Procreate now and stuff like that. So I guess like,
yep.
So And you know, that's the thing with technology. It's almost like every time, like every 6 months to a year, you just gotta upgrade because it just changes so much and so fast.
Right.
And like, I remember when after I graduated, I came back to visit, and they had like, Cody, you can correct me, but it's like the Skecher pad or something. Is you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, where you kind of you draw on the pad and it shows up on the screen. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. So
Yeah,
yeah, I saw
yeah.
that and I'm like, holy crap, like this is different. Like I didn't even see this when I was even in that
Right.
class. So
That's a
that
really interesting use as well. I had purchased one and ended up returning it. It was like, I don't know, my brain couldn't quite match. It was just so confusing to me. Like it never worked out. So I ended up just switching to, you know, a basic program on I sketch right on my iPad actually.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah,
Yeah.
I've actually tried one out myself, and I think what it is like, you know, in reality, without a computer, if we're even writing something or even drawing something, we're kind of looking down, so we actually see the pen and paper or pencil and paper and whatever,
Yeah.
right? So I think
Yep.
what happens is our brain is getting confused because we're looking at a screen, but yet we're trying to tell our brain like we're holding that pad while we're trying to draw. And I don't know if yours that went from before you returned it anyway, if it would like what I even experienced, where like the harder you pressed or whatever, it would like the thicker the line or the less
Yes.
pressure. Yeah, okay.
Oh
Yeah,
yeah.
that was all weird and unique, I guess.
Yeah. And it probably works really good for some people. And my brain was like, yeah, no, this is not going to happen. So we gave up real fast after maybe like a week of that. And I'm kind of glad I did because I really like where I'm at now. It worked out good at least.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Now, I guess Cody is so what's it like to make soaps, I guess? 'Cause what like I don't know if you want to like really tell us the process, but I guess it's more my thing. Like, so how does that even work? Like, how do you pick the scent and like how does like you know, what the steps a little bit?
Oh, sure. I can kind of summarize it. You know, in the beginning, I was kind of all over the place. You know, I was testing out recipes, and I finally, you know, ended up making my own recipe to go by. And I like what I'm at, where I'm at with it, and I won't be changing that at all from here on out. And you know, basically, it's you're You have to choose your oils, you know, what types of oils do you want to use in your soap? I have like coconut oil and olive oil and a few others. And you know, you're working with lye, so everything needs to be measured essentially. You can't just eyeball this stuff, which when I'm cooking or baking, I measure nothing. So this was a really hard thing for me to grasp. Like, okay, Cody, you can't just dump a bottle of lye and just wing it in the soap. You're not going to get, you know, the results that you want. So it's definitely a lot of measuring, you know, weighing out ingredients. And basically what I do is I do it a little bit different. I cook all of the lye out of my soap completely. So there's no like wait time on a shelf. It's essentially ready as soon as it's dried. A lot of other soapers don't do this, and which gives them they get the ability to do really cool like designs in their soaps because they're doing it different than I do. But they also have to wait, you know, anywhere from 6 to upwards of 12 weeks for their soaps to cure. So the lye is out of them completely, but I do it a little bit different and I cook it right out in the beginning and I scent them and dye them and they basically go in a mold to sit and then I end up slicing them up. And as far as like scents, I kind of just go with whatever my nose likes. I really like to, you know, I like to tailor the soaps to scents that I prefer. I always do custom orders though for people as well. You know, if they want something specific, I can certainly do that. But really, it's just, it's kind of a guessing game really when you're ordering from companies like fragrance oils or essential oils. If you don't know what they smell like, it's kind of like Christmas morning. Everything's a surprise when you get it in the mail. But yeah, I really just tailor a lot of my soaps to kind of fit the Adirondacks as well. And, you know, I want to stick with that theme, the rustic looking soap. But yeah, it's fun. I enjoy it. Even my kids, you know, they're able to help with certain processes, especially like scenting the soap. You know, I let my daughters, you know, kind of smell everything, see what they like, and I let them customize soaps too. So they think it's pretty cool.
Oh, nice. Well, hey, I mean, that's rough work for you. Now you got the kid doing it. I mean, they're your employees and you don't even have to pay them. Well, maybe $5 allowance.
Yeah, definitely when they get a little bit older, they'll be, I think they'll be a huge help. They're showing a lot of interest in it. And, you know, with all the chemicals and everything that I use, like once they get older and they'll be able to wear, you know, the proper equipment and actually be with me when I'm doing some of the, you know, the more dangerous stuff, I guess. But for now they help out with scents and they tell me, well, I think this soap should be this color. And can you do a soap that smells like this? And so it's super cute to see them so interested in what I'm doing.
Now, have you tried doing like a champ soap or anything like to kind of, I don't know, basically tribute to the factor of a cryptid, I guess?
Yeah, so actually last year for Champ Day in Port Henry, New York, I did a champ related soap, and it was kind of like on the bottom of the soap, if you can imagine, it kind of looked like rocks and seaweed, and then towards the in the middle it was like a dark blue, and then it went to a lighter blue at the top. So I did, it was kind of like the official champ soap at the event, I guess. So I've done that before. I haven't done any others. This year I'll be doing something different champ related for the Champ Day event. I'm not sure what I'm doing yet, but I've got a few months to kind of figure that out, I guess.
Yeah, I think I sort of saw some like images of that champ soap last year, and I think I just forgot to like order some, if it was even available on your site. I don't remember, but yeah, if I do remember the image right though, it kind of reminded me of definitely Lake Champlain, but you were definitely trying to make it in the layers of the depths of the lake, I guess, or
yeah,
something to that effect.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know if I ever had them on my site. I think they sold out that day, Paul, or maybe I had one or two kind of hanging around, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I maybe, like I said, maybe it would just like your Instagram or Facebook or whatever, which everybody, she does have, so if you want to follow, like, her page to keep up to date, which we'll get into that too, but I think I might have saw you do that, post it somewhere. Maybe it was even your story, for all I know.
Yeah.
And speaking of Champ Day, you're part of the, like, Champ Day committee too, so are you part... are you just on it for like just to help as a vendor, or do you do a little bit more?
I don't really do that much more. I kind of just give my input and try and help out with some ideas. The people who run it, you know, I had kind of said to them, you know, I'll help out as much as I can, but I do have a lot on my plate with the business and, you know, the kids and stuff. It's hard for me, and I don't want to spread myself too thin per se. But right. I do try and give insight and, you know, hey, this would be a good idea. Or, you know, mom kind of bounces ideas off of me and I give her feedback as well to share along with the committee. So I'm technically on it, but I am one of the less active members, I'll say.
That's fair enough. You know, family kind of comes first, to be honest, but just be fair, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So for those that are listening, so the owner's names are Andrea Annecy and her husband Kyle Miller. Kyle doesn't really do too much because Andrea is more of the chairman since 2020. But yeah, I'll let them talk about it when you go back and listen to their episode. That was a fun episode. Cody, like, in your own experience, how long have you been doing, like, Champ Day for?
Just this last year, actually. That was my first event there, and I will do it as long as they host the event. North Road Subco will be there. I had a blast, and again, like, I've just always loved Champ, so anything Champ-related, like, I'm down. You saw my stickers, you know, the posters, and the sticker that you were talking about before was Bigfoot and Champ sitting on a log by a fire, and then there's the UFO in the background kind of zapping up the cow, and it says, I think I'll just let the mystery be. That's probably my favorite sticker, and you know, that I just love anything Champ related, so being a part of a really big event like that is just really fun.
Oh, definitely. And I bet your kids had fun if they were there.
Just the oldest was there, but this year my twins, they will be there as mermaids, so they're really excited.
Nice. Now they can do the man, it's brain farting on me right now. The like boxcar race or something like that.
Yes, they did the, I think it was the boat race last year. I don't know if they'll do that this year or something else, but they'll be happy to do anything there and just be a part of it, you know.
You should definitely have your kid work on something for their contest for how would you lure Champ? Which you should too, apparently, because apparently there's one for adults and there's one for kids. So all of you guys should figure out a cool way to how you guys would lure Champ for a photo.
That would be awesome. I definitely should. I love stuff like that.
I think you guys would have a blast. And I know Andrea was asking if we were going to show up, and I told her that Tessa and I are definitely planning on trying to make it out this year.
Oh, good. I hope to see you guys there. I think you guys would really enjoy the event. There's just so much Champ merchandise and just so many great local vendors as well, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, I guess since we keep talking about Champ, so had there been any stories, Cody, or even like, have you seen anything suspicious? But let's just start with stories for a minute. So have you, like, have your mom told you any interesting stories, or has anybody ever told you anything interesting?
Mom's always talked about Champ, and you know, she shared stories from other people over the years. I couldn't recall one right now. But you know, when I was younger, at my parents' house, they lived, you know, just really close to the lake, and we would always walk down there, my brother and I, or me and my friends. And I can recall one summer with one of my friends being down at the lake about 100 yards out. This wave came out of nowhere, or whatever it was, and it was, you know, really, really dark, and it was up for about 10 seconds and it disappeared, and then there was nothing. So, you know, who knows what it was. It could have been a rolling log, a rogue wave, something else. I don't know. That's, in my experience, that's kind of the only thing that has really stuck with me. I haven't forgotten that, just the feeling that it gave me not knowing what that was in the water. So that's kind of cool. And I love hearing other people's stories as well. I have goosebumps now just thinking about, you know, my own experience, and, you know, there's other people out there that just have some stories that, you know, that's just spine chilling, I guess.
And that was your experience, the one that you just mentioned, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, it was very short. You know, couldn't have been, it wasn't out of the water, whatever it was, for very long, and then it was just gone.
Well, I know you listened to, I'm pretty sure you listened to your mother's interview with me. So I'm going to, I guess, say the same thing to you like I said to her and Kyle and Andrea, which is, so have you heard the story about there's a possible UFO base down in Lake Champlain?
No, I haven't heard that, actually. When you had talked about that with Mom, right, though?
Yep.
Yeah, no, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, so I'm going to bring it up again because just in case your mother or Kyle or Andrea is listening. So I contacted the guy that I was hoping is who I heard it from, and he gave me permission to share his name. So his name was Jeff Stewart. He's a good friend of mine who I met, and he actually formed in Vermont the Paranormal Investigators of New England group. So, and they're part of the Ghost Hunter Tap family. So I just wanted to throw that out there that he is the source of who I heard this information about, that there's a possible UFO base down in Lake Champlain because of reports of UFO diving in and coming out of the water.
Oh, that's crazy. That's I'm thank you for sharing that. That's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, when he first told me, it was just kind of like, really, like I never heard of
Right.
that. And but then he was telling me of like some other places that he'd been, or at the time that he used to investigate at, to kind of keep an eye on the sky type of thing, to like maybe try to find some evidence, record data or whatever. But he found possibly two other locations that have UFO site UFOs around the area, which is like Milton and some other place. The name's escaping
Okay.
me. But yeah, I mean, it's always fun and interesting. I mean, I've never heard of it, so I figured I'd start sharing it around. So
Yeah, absolutely.
yeah. Now, I guess Cody is like, so what do you make out Champ to be? Do you believe like he or she is like one of those type of lost plesiosaurs that might be related, well, would have to be related to the, the famous Loch Ness monster? But what's your take on Champ?
Yeah, I mean, so I guess for me, with every ounce of my being, I want Champ to be a plesiosaur in the worst way. I love dinosaurs. I think they're just, they're just so cool to read about. So I really want Champ to be, a plesiosaur. But I think I like to lean towards the thought that maybe Champ is a really large sturgeon, fish in the water. It that seems more plausible to me. But I really wish Champ was a plesiosaur, because how cool would that be? That would make my childhood dreams come true, like a dinosaur in Lake Champlain. That would just be insane, But I really just believe that it's a large sturgeon in the water.
That's fair enough, and I can't really say anything because I don't, I haven't really experienced anything at Lake Champlain, so I can't really say too much. And as like I told your mother, I'm a big skeptic when it comes to the cryptid area, the cryptozoology, because it, that stuff is a little bit more of a rabbit hole than just saying, oh yeah, I believe the paranormal. I, so,
Right.
and that's the sad thing about cryptids, is when you start putting your feet into that water, or to say, for the pun here of talking about Champ, is you start seeing these people kind of say like, well, we already know the story, it's a hoax and this and that. So I guess Cody is, I know you must have heard like about possibly the Champ hoax and all this stuff. So what would be your opinion on like, the stories about the hoax and stuff?
Well, I definitely think, I think people wanted to, I guess, capitalize on, people's fears and the Lake Champlain monster. So, the hoax and everything, that's it's going to happen with no matter what, I guess. And but there's just so many stories that have spanned, hundreds of years. So it just seems like there's got to be something. And hoaxes just come along with any story, I guess. Somebody wants their 15 minutes of fame, so they create this or do this to kind of follow in with another story, if that makes sense, Paul.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. I just hope that whoever thinks that it's nothing but Hulk is listening and realizes what we're trying to say too. So I guess before we wrap things up, Cody, because I don't want to keep you any longer. So let's go back to your champ print for a minute, because you mentioned something that is interesting, and now I really got to pick your brain for this. So you mentioned in your champ print the shipwreck. So, did that shipwreck supposed to signify anything? Like, I don't know, maybe the ghost ship that's supposed to be seen on Lake Champlain?
It's an actual ship that's at the bottom of Lake Champlain, and I am also having a brain fart right now at the actual name.
So, the name that we were trying to remember for this sunken ship is actually one of Bernadette Arnold Seven ship, which is known as the Spitfire, that was sunk in 1776.
It's over 250 years old, and it's still intact, and the mast is still upright on it, which is really cool. I think it's one of the local spots for like scuba divers to go and visit, I guess. I haven't heard of any ghost ships on Lake Champlain, but that's super interesting, and I want to hear more about that too.
So I don't know if you know this, Cody, but I just looked it up, but I cannot find the name that you're trying to think of either. But did you know that there was about 300 shipwrecks throughout Lake Champlain?
Yeah, that's just when I was doing research for the champ print that we're talking about right now. I stumbled across that information, and that's just crazy to me. I mean, that's 300 that they know of. You know, there's could certainly be more than that.
So Cody, like I said, we're going to wrap things up, and for those that want to try your soap and stuff, how does one go about trying to try out your soap? Because you know what, now that I think about it, you don't just have soap, you have like lotion and you have like whip balm, and we're not talking like little dinky whip balm, we're talking like I don't even know, like the triple size of a whip balm.
Yeah, they're the bigger ones, and I really, those are better, they're just easier to fill, which is why I do those. It was a nightmare trying to fill the smaller lip balm. So I was just like, okay, nope, this is not working for me. So we upgraded. But yeah, I have so many different products. I kind of exploded this year, this past year, once we opened, my friends and I opened a store down in Ticonderoga. So I have my own room dedicated to all of my soap stuff, which I keep in stock, all the time. And since then I've grown so much into different categories of beauty products and lotions and shampoo bars and lip balms. It's just, there's just so many. If you asked me to give you a list right now, I would probably have another brain fart, because there are just so many things.
I think it's just safe to say that we should just check out your website, which is what?
Yes. Best way to order stuff or look over things is just go to northroadsoap.com, and if there's something that somebody is looking for specifically and it's not listed on the website, or if they've seen me post something on Instagram or Facebook and there's no listing available, always shoot me a message. I have 4 kids, so sometimes my life is a little bit crazy and I don't always upload and keep up to date with my website as best as I should be. I'm just all over the place, honestly. So just always message me if somebody needs something. That's the best way to, get products in your hand.
So northroadsoap.com. You're also on Facebook and Instagram. Facebook is weird though. Facebook. So for those listening, if you try to search North Road Soap Co., spell it like you're spelling it in one word, basically.
Yes, and I think it's because that's how I think I have it titled like that. So I should change it and put the spaces in between, because I've had that same issue. You know, people have tried to, you know, contact me and say, you know, I can't get your web, or I can't get your Facebook page, and I have to explain, well, it's just one word.
Yeah. And well, I'll just do it here. So, if for some reason you search and Cody changed it from the one word to actually spacing it out, then we apologize in advance on this. But, so Cody, I guess, to wrap things up, is there anything that I didn't touch on that you would like to touch on?
No, I don't think so. I really enjoyed talking about Champ. Like I said, I'm just kind of always been obsessed with him. So it's kind of fun to talk to, you know, somebody else who's interested in the same area. And I really can't think of anything else, Paul.
All right. Well, before I let you go, I thought of one last thing, and this is it. So when I was talking to your mother, she mentioned that you and her are possibly in a collaboration of possibly making like a book or something next year. Any information on that you could give, or is that still in the early stages?
What book? I don't know what you're talking about, Paul.
Me either.
we've been kind of talking about it for probably, boy, I don't even know. Maybe the last 2 years we've been trying to figure out what we want to do, which we know what we want to do, but I won't say it yet. Mm-hmm. And we're just kind of trying to figure out how to go about it, because we have two very different styles of drawing. So trying to figure out how to mesh those two together, I think, is going to be a challenge. It's going to be fun. I'm really excited to do it, and we just kind of need to find the time to hammer it out, I guess. But it'll be something to look forward to, hopefully in the near future.
Well, maybe I'll just suggest it again. Maybe have your mom do the artwork for the background, and then you can just do the rest. Even though she suggested you do the background, and she'll do the rest.
Yeah, I am down for whichever of those. When I listened to the podcast, I was like, oh, geez, that's a really good idea. So yeah, I'm pretty laid back to work with, and mom knows that, and you know, likewise with her as well. So I think it'll be a fun task for us to kind of figure out, and you know, we won't hate each other by the end of it, I guess. So that's a good thing.
No, you can't hate your own parents, can you?
Oh God, like a rock star. She's amazing. She's so much fun to be around, and she is. Some days she seems younger than me because she just has so much energy, which is, it's fun.
Well, Cody, I appreciate your time. And if your husband is watching your four kids, hopefully he hasn't gone insane yet. So
I think we might already be there, Paul, but I'm not sure.
Well, on that note, maybe we should stop so we can go save him. So, so everybody else listening, thank you so much. This is Cody Wang. And if you haven't checked out her soap, you need to do it now, because she will become your soap dealer. Yeah. Yeah. And I cannot recommend her product enough. And I will recommend for people like myself, who is very picky with soap. Like, even when we were at her stand last year, I could not figure out what I wanted. So I was just like, oh, I'll figure it out later on. And then when that later on came down, it basically was a sample box. I just literally gave into a sample box, because I was just like, I really just don't know what I want to do. The happy news that I can share to Cody, actually, is so far I found one scent that I like, which is obviously the Mountain Man one.
Oh, yeah. That is my all-time bestseller for men and women. It's my personal favorite. It's my husband's personal favorite soap as well. That is just, I think the name kind of might scare some people away, but it is just a awesome bar of soap. Definitely worth a try.
Okay, now I gotta ask, how would that name scare away somebody?
I think maybe more so to women, like they say, oh, Mountain Man, oh, I don't think I want to try that. But I always encourage, you know, whenever I have somebody in front of me, I'm like, oh, you gotta try this bar. Just smell it. And they're always like, okay, that's Mountain Man. I'm like, yes.
That is not what I expected.
Yeah, no, it's not like a sweaty, you know, man on the mountain. It's a very lovely scent, I promise.
Oh, man. That would be a nice April Fool's bar. No, I'm joking. Don't do it.
Yeah.
But... All right. Well, Cody, thank you so much for your time. And we'll have to chat again maybe if something in the future comes up.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'd be happy to anytime, Paul.
All right, Cody. Well, for everybody else, don't you dare look away from that lake, because you need to keep your eyes open, because you just never know if a champ or a UFO might be just popping out of the lake.